Jesus. Sweet robes of Sharon. There's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Loving Savior, my sunshine in the midnight. Oh, my guiding star that's shining all the day. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon. There's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Oh, it's camp meeting time, wasn't it? And I believe God's going to give us a wonderful, wonderful time here tonight. So glad our pastor and his wife are back home. I'm glad that the Lord blessed them with some great services over in Ohio. And well, they're back home, and we're going to get to hear our pastor tonight, and I know you're looking forward to that. The Lord is so good to us. Amen. Why don't you just take a second, go to somebody, shake their hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. What a privilege it is. Play a little bit more of that, brethren, if you will. Let's sing some more of that. Turn it up.
Precious Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, let's look at our prayer request tonight. This is good news from over at the library. This was sent to them. The doctors have said that Brother Jim Maxwell's wound looks real good. The doctors gave hope for him for improvement of the Achilles tendon in just looking at time as being the greatest asset. But we know a greater asset than time. And that's the maker of time. That's the Lord Jesus. So we certainly thank God for that good report. I know Brother Jim has really, and that family and the church family has been really concerned over his situation. But it looks like that things are looking better on his behalf. And we want to say thank the Lord for that. Amen. I remember Sister Donna Orndorff tonight. She had surgery today, is in a lot of pain. So let's pray for our sister. We'll remember Sister Pat Short and her family. Her mother passed away this morning. So let's pray for that family during this time. I want to pray for Brother George Hamlin's niece, Angela Boyd. She's in the hospital in Arizona with double pneumonia. So they're asking that we would remember that situation on her behalf tonight. I want to pray for Brittany Walton and her baby, that God will work things out on their behalf. Also pray for Brother Randy Walton, a special unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that. Brother and Sister King have a special unspoken request they'd like for you to pray about tonight. Sister Irene Pierce sends this in to please pray for my nephew, Randall Beverly. His kidneys have shut down and he is on a ventilator. So they're asking that we would remember that need tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Sister Jan Winters offers this testimony. Saturday night, I was prayed for, and the Lord delivered me of those grieving demons that had tormented me for 7 years. I feel like a brand new me, and I want to praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, thank God for that tonight. I want to pray for the mother of Brother Robert Marrero. She is thought to have some collapsed arteries in her heart, so they're asking that we would remember that need tonight. We'll remember Sister Judy Davis in prayer. She's in a lot of pain, so let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of her tonight as we pray. Sister Susanna Wyko says to please pray for my friend's baby, Israel, who was born Monday and had to have a blood transfusion. He started having seizures on Tuesday and had to be flown to a hospital in Knoxville for further testing. So let's pray for that child and that family tonight. Certainly want to remember Sister Natalie Janssen in prayer. Just hold her in her heart. Brother James Stamper, just to, as those folks come to my mind, I'm sure there's others in our local assembly that we don't want to forget them, but we want to just hold them to the Lord, that God would work things out in their life as he sees fit. Because you know what? He has never made the first bad decision. And whatever he does well. Do you believe that with all your heart? You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Brother Harry, could you sing the second verse to that song, Precious Jesus? Let's sing that just before we pray over these needs tonight. Brother Terry, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer just in a few minutes. Brother Harry, if you sing that verse for us.
Who is the Lord?
Oh, yes.
Always understands my blues, but he just smiles and hugs a happy memory. Cause a liberated soul.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Sing about being found. Oh, Lord.
Back and realize it. He set us free. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon. Oh, there's peace and triumph when you speak his name. My God. takes my blues.
But he just smiles and hugs.
Yes, he does.
A happy man.
He's not worried at all, Brother Terry.
'Cause a liberated soul
can't.
Oh, sing about being bad.
Hallelujah.
Join our faith together tonight, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we pray, I'm sure that there's none of us that really have the revelation that we need to understand what it's like to truly be made free. Lord, there's lots of prisons around the world. There's lots of jails. But we were in the strangest of all the prisons. The number was behind it, but on the bars was 666, if you will. Lord, we were in denominational prison. We was bound not by the law of the Old Testament necessarily, but we was bound by the creeds and dogmas of men, the ideas of men. We were bound in those systems. But Lord, you called us out of it, and we truly have been made free. Lord, we think about happiness and joy, and people think about, well, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. No, if we're not happy now, we're not going to be happy when. Happiness is not a destination. Happiness is a way of travel. Thankful, Lord, you have made us free, and we can be happy tonight. We're happy to be in the house of God. We have the freedom to worship you. We enjoy the liberty. The Word of God either sets free or it binds. We come to the house of God with joy and with happiness and with the freedom to worship you. We don't have the guard out there and the army to tell us how to worship. As of yet, we enjoy the freedom and the liberty to come and worship you, God. May it last as long as possible. May we truly be thankful for the freedom to worship you in this country that we still enjoy. Pray, God, for those requests. I'm holding my hand, Sister Donna Orndorff, and different ones that was spoken of. We're thankful for the testimony, Brother Jim. He's doing better. And Sister Natalie, we believe she's going to be doing better. We are asking, Lord, for you to intervene day by day. We pray for her. We pray for each one of those. We pray for Brother Stamper. We breathe, Lord, that you're still an ever-present help in a time of need. You still are deliverer. You touch those that are 94 as well as those that are 14. God, you touch those that are down. You touch those that are without. You touch those that are within. You could be an ever-present help tonight. Lord, there's faith in the building. I believe somebody's going to touch your garment. Lord, I pray that you'll just give the anointing to our pastor and give the anointing to those that are really pulling on the gift of God. May there be nobody in the services just here because we're supposed to be here. May they be on fire. May they be enlightened. Lord, may you strike something within their heart that they could be quickened to the word for this hour. Lord, touch everyone. Heal everyone. Those requests that people raise their hands for, perhaps an unsaved loved one, someone sick, I pray that you would touch them. Sister Judy Davis, the different ones. Lord, that really need a touch. Oh, God, those that suffered many, many years. Lord, let this be tonight. Let this be the night that they're delivered. God, you asked for us to do one thing, and that's appropriate that faith. It's not based on merit. It's not based on salvation. Based on one thing. Can you believe? I believe, Lord. And there's many believing. we're going to see testimonies for these. Heal each one. I'm asking you, Lord, that's been written, it's been read, it's been mentioned in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. You can be seated if you'd like to. Let me want to welcome tonight Sister Connie Spencer and her daughter Whitney. Where are they at tonight? Would you just raise your hand? Where are they at? Raise your hand. I can't see you. God bless you. Glad to have you with us tonight. Amen. And this, is this the Dameron family? Dameron family? Is that, I hope I got that name right. They're visiting tonight. Kevin, wife, and two children. Where would you folks be? God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Amen. Hope I got those names right. May God bless you. Hope you just enjoy the service. All you home folks, it's good to see you tonight too. Praise the Lord. Let's sing just a little song tonight before we change the order of the service. Sister Sarah, if you want to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. Let's just sing a little chorus together and maybe you leave this verse. We're going to keep pressing on, aren't we? Amen. How many of you feel like you just got to keep pressing on? Leaving, quitting, discouragement, not even an option. Not even an option. Forget it. Ain't going to happen. We're pressing on. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say I'm pressing on. We're going to keep pressing on. Oh, we're pressing on. We're going to keep pressing on. Higher calling of our
find in me what's pleasing to you. your heart. I leave my will at Calvary, taking on a nature humbled by your scars. For I know it's only through your love that who I am is hidden by your grace. Let my desires be overshadowed as I recall the purpose of that place. Hide me behind the cross, where my gains become as loss, and only your glory. With all of self behind your cross, the splendor of your love stands free to shine, illuminating with your power, reaching souls, so you alone are glorious.
Lord, without you, I couldn't face each morning. And without you, I couldn't sleep in peace each night. Lord, without you, couldn't go on. no use going on without you by my side. 'Cause Lord, you are everything to me. Yes, Lord, you are everything to me. I love you more than anything, Lord. Like a desert in need of water, like a sailor in need of the sea, like a story in need of an author. Oh Lord, I need you always with me. 'Cause Lord, you are everything to me. Yes, Lord, you are everything to me. I love you more than anything, Lord. Yes, Lord, you are everything to me. Jesus, you are everything to me. Lord,
yes, Lord God,
you are
everything. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Glory. Hallelujah.
Lord, you,
yes, Lord God,
you are everything to me.
Thank you, Lord God.
Yes, Lord, everything to me. I love you more than anything, Lord. You are everything to me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord God, how we thank you tonight that something can happen in a mortal's heart that makes them feel that way. When we think of how we are born tainted, born in sin, born fallen. born to love the world, born in an animal body, highest form of animal life. And yet something can happen to this animal that changes it and makes it think of heaven and God and His mercy. We thank You for that tonight, Lord Jesus. We know truly it is a great miracle to be born again. We want You to know that we are so thankful for what You've done in our lives. Lord, as we've come together again tonight, that we might sit at Your table, feed upon Your word, hear those things that are necessary for us this Wednesday night, I pray that You would help us, Lord Jesus. We know if there's anything of eternal value that will come out of this service, it'll have to be You that'll do it. So we don't want to come and try to make anyone else think that we are capable. We want to just present ourselves and say, Lord, You use us. Speak through me. But then, Lord, hear through them. Because if You don't hear through them, they won't hear it right. So may You perform a supernatural feat among us. May the Word of God become so alive and so real. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Privilege for us, isn't it, to be gathered together in the house of God. Heard you had some wonderful services while I was gone. I did hear a little bit of report that somebody got kind of Pentecostal on. And I must say I was really, really proud of you. Some pastors would probably say really, really ashamed. But since I believe this message comes to restore our hearts back to the original faith, anybody that act like Peter, I'm not ashamed of him. He's my brother. We're first generation. Remember that. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would, tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. And I'd like to speak to you on, He comes in the midst of trouble. He comes in the midst of trouble. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. I want you to notice now how this is going to happen. When they shall say, peace and safety. Paul didn't say we're going to say it, because we know better. If you think this world's going to get better, let me make an altar call right now for you. It ain't going to get no better. It's going to get worse. It'll be worse by Saturday than what it is on Wednesday. And then by next Saturday be even worse. So it's not going to be the elect that's going to be crying peace and safety. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Why? It's fitting for what they're saying. Upon them as travail, upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, to the most of the world, it will be as a thief, which the word here is a plunderer. One that will come and take your goods when you're not looking. He ain't going to come to me as a thief because I'm looking. He ain't going to take my goods without my consent. He's got my consent to take all I got. Right? So it's not going to be as a thief to the elect. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. Friends, we are not just walking in the light, but light is our daddy. We are children of light. Notice it didn't say the light, but light. So all light, all light, all light belongs to us. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Isn't it amazing? In the book of Ephesians, he says, for you who were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Not in darkness, but you were actually darkness. And now you're not in light, but you're actually light. Now listen to this in the Philadelphian Church Age, page 315. It is in the midst of a time of great trouble that Jesus comes. And with His coming, there is a resurrection. Read this again. It is in the midst of a time of great trouble that Jesus comes. And with His coming, there is a resurrection. Many are to come forth out of the dust and rise with those who are alive, but waiting for His return. May the Lord bless His words. You may be seated. Now, even though we're elect, and even though we believe by God's grace we are bride, it certainly doesn't exempt us from trouble. As a matter of fact, if anybody's going to have trouble, it's going to be the elect. God doesn't always promise us that there will be healing of everything that we get sick of. You know, sometimes there are people who are prayed for. My, there's many people who get terminal illnesses and diseases and sicknesses, and their name is called by the saints of God thousands of times in a given set. Of maybe they'd be sick for months or months or months, or say a period of a year, 18 months or 2 years. And you realize, you think, how many times would that person's name be called in prayer? And yet they have all kinds of treatments and all kinds of this and that and the other. And they get this doctor's opinion, that one and that one and that one. And they're prayed for by saints of God around the world. And inevitably, you know, sometimes we don't know it, but God will say no. And God will say no to that person's healing, no to that person's deliverance. And there might be somebody else that's not near as staunch a Christian. There might be somebody else that their name is not called 10,000 times. It may not be called but two or three times. And they'll get healing of something that's just as great or greater and go right on. And you say, how in the world does it all work? I can't say that I understand. But in my way of simple way of looking at it, I look at it like this, as the Lord spoke this to me yesterday. Sometimes Jesus says yes, and other times He says no. And no matter what we do, how much effort we put forth, how many people pray, if He has said no, then you know what? It's going to be no. Now sometimes we look at that and we say, oh my, then what's the outcome of it all? I'll tell you what the outcome of it all is. When God says no to a saint's life, or when God says no to something that you and I are asking God for, and you continue right on without a revelation of knowing that God has said no, do you know what you're doing? You are there fighting the faith. You're holding right on to the faith that God's given you. You don't know any better, so you're believing God and you're faithful right down to the end of the way. Sometimes folks who go with the way of the grave, and we look at them and say, oh my, they were defeated. Defeated? They were not defeated. They were changed into another body, and not only that, but their faith was right up to the very end. As Paul could say, I have fought a good fight. So a person that is going through battles and turmoils and sickness and disease, and we're saying, well, they lost. I beg your pardon, they did not lose at all. They did not lose at all. Just because Jesus says no does not mean we lose. It simply means that we enter into a realm of God's grace that maybe we didn't quite understand or hope it would be that way, but we are a winner either way. If I get a terminal disease and I pray and you pray and people call my name before God, say 10,000 times over a period of 2.5 years, and God says, no, Donnie, it's my time for you to go. Hey, friend, you'll weep and I'll cry and we'll say our goodbyes and all that sort of thing. But don't worry about me. I'm heading. I know where I'm going. I win. So if Jesus looks and says no, then you know what? It is for our benefit. And we realize that as Christians, as we come closer to the rapture, the body change, there's going to be so much trouble. I'm convinced we have looked at the press. We've diagnosed the press. We've looked at the quotes on the press. We've tried to figure out what it's going to be and how it's going to be. And you're probably like I am, scratching your head saying, Lord, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know it's all in your hands.
So you realize that in the time of great trouble is when Jesus comes. With His coming, now remember, it will not be a time when everything is at ease. It's not going to be a time, even in Zion, when we are free from trouble, free from heartache. I believe there's going to be more trouble as we go on, and we're going to be like John, even so, come Lord Jesus. We're not there yet, but I believe we're going to get to a spot that we'll want to go more than we want to stay. Most of us right now want to stay more than we want to go. Come on now. But you realize trouble has a way of bringing things out of you that sometimes blessings don't. Trouble and anguish and sorrow and sickness and difficulty and things that you just don't understand. It has a way of accumulating on the human being and making it to where the human being says, I am so sick of this life. I am so miserable of this life. And you realize, saints, that whenever the bride of Christ comes to that spot, I wonder if it could be that, being synchronized with the last one whose name is on the book. And it all working together to make the entirety of the program of God unfold in the way He wants it to be. But remember, as bride, we're not going to be free from trouble. We're not going to be free from even pressure. We're not even going to be free from when we get down to pray that it seems like your prayers go no higher than your head. We're not going to be free from feeling like sometimes we're going to lose our mind. But remember, in that kind of a time is when Jesus will come. And with His coming is a glorious resurrection. Now remember, the world will go on and it will get worse, but there will be a religious thing among the people to where they will think they're getting saved. Many message folks will continue to play tapes. Some of them go to camps. They'll go to camp meetings. They'll go to church if they believe in going to church. If they don't believe in going to church, they'll stay home and play their tapes or stream some preacher. Some preachers will go and some won't. Some deacons will go and some won't. Some church members will go and some won't. Come on now. But the thing of it is, which one will you be? Now remember, God has called us and we must recognize that we're part of that word, and there must be something in us that quickens us to a life that matches what God is doing in this hour. Notice this, again, Brother Ben says, in the midst of a time of great trouble that Jesus comes. And with His coming, there is a resurrection. Many are to come forth out of the dust and rise with those who are alive, but waiting for His return. And these will be given crowns. Why? Because they are sons of God. They are kings with Him. They are reigning with Him. Amen. I've not yet received my throne, but I am now reigning. I'm reigning over cigarettes. I'm reigning over alcohol. I'm reigning over sin. So come on, church. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I know. One day we'll move into a greater degree of that reigning. But I want you to know there is a people on the face of the earth tonight that the kingdom of God is reigning in their life over the kingdom of darkness. They are reigning with Him. This is what the crown signifies, reigning and ruling with the great King Himself. I love this part. Oh, we have a word for us all at this time. It is hold fast. Persevere. Don't give up. If there was ever a time we needed that, we need it right now. Because we are living in discouraging times. We're living in times and folks are turning to the left and turning to the right. And folks are giving up and folks are turning back. Some of our children turning away from what they've been taught many years of their lives. Preachers going astray. Preachers getting off on this and that and the other. It is a very discouraging time. But it depends on what you're going to dwell on. It is also an encouraging time. For in the time of such trouble, Jesus will come. So we can sit around and have the mully grubs and have our chin dragging down about our knee level, or we can be lifting up our heads and lifting up where they belong, and we can be persevering, we can have courage, we can have hope, and we can say, though 10,000 fall to the left and 50,000 to the right and 500,000 behind me, that's not going to affect me. I've got my eyes on the prize. I'm not slowing down. I'm not stopping. I'm not getting weary. I'm in well doing, but I'm going to keep pressing on, for the battle is before me. Now notice this, what He says to you and I. Oh, we have a word for us at this time. It is hold fast. Well, what about thunders? What about mysteries? What about things that preachers have said? Oh, this is what we need. That's funny that Brother Bram said what we need is hold fast. hold on. Why? Could it be prophetically that he was telling us there's coming a time? We've come through the stages of the message and we've seen the great personalities rise and fall. This great man rise and fall. That one rise and fall. Every kingdom that is man-made around this message will fall before the rapture. So do me a favor. Don't try to build one around me. Do other preachers that you like a favor. Don't try to build a kingdom around them. But let's build a kingdom that will last. The kingdom of God. God don't need a Reagan kingdom, a Pruitt kingdom, whatever. God wants the kingdom of God to stand forever. And it will. Watch this. He says, it is hold fast, persevere. Don't give up. Put on the whole armor of God. Use every weapon. Listen to this, church. Use every weapon he has given us. Use every gift at our disposal and look ahead with joy. I know this is very simple, but it is so powerful. Whenever you and I go through things, these are some simple little things that we can do. And what is it? Hold fast, persevere, don't give up, amen. No matter how many falls, how much you get discouraged, when things happen you don't understand, keep your eyes on the prize. Exactly right. Use every weapon that he has given us. You are fully clothed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Your eyes have got what you need. Your heart got what you need. God's given us ministerial gifts. God's given us offices. God's given us a prophet. He's given us a Bible. He's given us books. He's given us tapes. He's given us prayer. He's given us tongues. He's given us prophecy. He's given us the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. God's given us every gift. Now the thing of it is, don't pick and say, well, I like this, I like that. If he's given them, we better use them. Because they are given for our benefit. They are here for the body of Jesus Christ. Use them all. Use all that God's given you. And press toward the prize. Hallelujah. Why? Because we are going to be crowned. Listen to this. By him. Who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He himself, Brother Harold, one day will set that victor's crown on your head. Just for me to get there would be a wonderful thing. And then for me to have a crown on top of that, just given to me by a prophet or an angel, would be a wonderful thing. But it'll be so personal to him that he himself will crown every victor saint. You sisters that have overcome the things of life. You young people. You older brothers. Whatever we are. Every victor that is overcome will receive a personal crowning from the Lord Jesus himself. For he is King of Kings. Isn't it amazing? We crown him, he crowns us. Oh, Lord have mercy. We crown him, and he turns around and crowns us, and to everyone that overcomes. Then he comes and says, come into this kingdom which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Enter into this. Oh, I will not just have life eternal, but we will have life with divine dignity. You're not just going to be living eternal life, but you will be living eternal life. And when those that live outside the city come inside the city, they will sense an aura about the bride, a divine dignity about the bride that all the rest of those on the outside don't have. And that cannot be merited by you praying for it. It cannot be done by your works. It can only be done by one thing, and that is by the predestination of God, that God chose you before the foundation of the world to be a part of this bride and to enter in his glory. Oh, friend, I don't want just power to speak in tongues. I don't want just power to lay hands on the sick. I want to enter into his divine glory. That glory that Jesus said I had with the Father before the world ever began. Lord, what awaits us? What awaits us? But before that hour arrives, will come great trouble. Now we know the bride escapes the tribulation period. My, I can't imagine how awful that's going to be. Sometimes this living life is difficult enough. But you'll imagine for those who miss it. But hopefully I'm not speaking to those tonight. So let's focus on this other direction. Now, you're familiar that when Brother Branham preached the rapture, he took his text from Psalms 27. And I preached it to you several years ago. Actually, I preached it up in Lima this past Sunday on the background for the rapture. And I preached that sermon, oh, I don't know, maybe four or five times in different places over the year. But I was sitting back there in the office Sunday morning and on my phone, I've got a dictionary. I'm a hillbilly boy, so I'm not too smart, don't know the meanings of words and pronunciation of words a lot of times. So I've got a Merriam dictionary on my phone. So I can speak into that phone and you just speak in the word and it will actually pull it up or pronounce it for you. If you don't know how to pronounce it, you can spell it. So I got my phone out and I spoke into my phone the word background. And then whenever I did, it comes up with the meaning of this word and I was so overwhelmed at the meaning of this word. And then it made so much more sense to me, even though I'd already preached it several times, what Brother Branham read this text from in Psalms 27. Now notice this in the rapture, paragraph 28. Now we believe there will be a rapture. All Christians believe that. That's Bible readers. Believes there will be a rapture. Now to read for some background. We read the 27th Psalm 1-5. Now remember, he's going to read this for a background. Now this is very peculiar because this is the only time in the message from 33 on to 65, 47 begin whenever it's taped, 47 to 65, that Brother Branham ever reads this or quotes it or refers to it that I could find. Not anywhere in the entire rest of the message does he ever refer to the scripture. And then from there, why would he take this and use this as a background for the rapture? When normally it would be 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, Luke 21, 36. It would be Matthew 24, 24, or those scriptures pertaining to the coming of the Lord. But instead, why did Brother Branham use this Psalms 27? Do you think he just picked up his Bible and thumbed through the Bible at random and said, you know, well, wherever it opens, that's what? No, I don't believe that, and you don't either. I believe there was a reason for him to use this. Now, look at the meaning of this word, background. One of the meanings, it has several, but the conditions that form the setting within which something is experienced. Now, listen again carefully. The conditions that form the setting within which something is experienced. The circumstances or events prior to a phenomenon. Glory. The circumstances or events prior to a phenomenon or a development. And also information essential to understanding a situation. Information essential to understanding a situation. Now this is the word that Brother Branham uses whenever he says, give us the reason why he's going to read Psalms 27 for a text on the rapture. Let me read it again now. The conditions that form the setting within which something is experienced. The circumstances or events prior to a phenomenon or development. Information essential to understanding a situation. Glory. Now let's read it. Psalms 27:1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now notice now the circumstances that form the setting within which something is experienced. So now he chooses this passages of scripture as a background, as a setting. It will be something that will be formed prior to a phenomenon. Now remember, you and I are fixing to experience one of the greatest spiritual phenomenons that has ever happened before. So what we're going to read then is going to be a background in order to describe or something that will describe the settings prior to this supernatural phenomenon or something that will go on that will exist before somebody experiences this phenomenon. Glory. A psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now remember, this must be a time of trouble because he mentions fear and afraid in the very first verse. But if you'll also notice how that David, by revelation in this, he's not saying the Lord is our light. It's not a group light. It's not a church light. It's not a national light. But the Lord is my light. And the Lord is my salvation. And the Lord is the strength of my life. Now notice one of the first things that's going to be involved in the background of those who's going to experience this supernatural phenomena is they are not going as a group, but they are going as an individual. Hallelujah. And they're going based upon what? The very first verse. It's not the relationship with the prophet Moses. It's not the relationship with the prophet Brother Branham. It's not with their relationship with their pastor. It's the relationship between them and God. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is mine. The Lord is mine. The Lord is mine. What is it? Circumstances describing a set of events that will happen prior to a phenomenon. Then for those around the message that the Lord is not everything, they will not be in the rapture because it would not fit in Psalms 27. So those of you that have a preacher religion, I would advise you to get ready for the tribulation period. If you're only hanging on Brother Donnie's coattail, before long you can have the coat and everything that goes with it, because I'm fixing to leave it behind. Right. Notice now. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why? What's there to fear? Unless it is a time of fear, why would David say fear and afraid in the same verse? Verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now notice the background, the conditions that form the setting within which something is experienced, the circumstance or events prior to a phenomenon. Information essential to understanding a situation. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up to eat up my flesh, the conditions that will exist before the bride goes home. And the last enemy is death. They've been working on me, these enemies of death has been working on me since I moved past 18. And that's been a while back. Once I've come up to that spot, they started setting their sights on me closer and closer and closer, watching me closer and closer. But one of these days, when they come up and they get right ready to attack me, they'll stumble and fall. Oh my. Hallelujah! Notice, David ain't sitting back in a recliner. Oh my, everything's fine. Everything is wonderful. No trouble, no anxiety, no stress. You've been listening to Benny Hinn too much. You better get away from that hen preaching and get around this eagle stuff if you want to fly out of here. Now, if you're going to roost in the tribulation period in the hen house, go ahead. I done been in that hen house. I got tired of that hen house. I left that hen house, and I ain't got no more interest in that hen house. Glory. Watch this. When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me. A host. Notice, not against me and my church. Me and my mama, my daddy, my brother, my uncle, my great-grandpa, my nephews, my cousins, all of us, we've all got guns. And we're no sir. But David put it as if though it was an army against one man. Y'all ever feel that way? You ever feel like you got a whole army breathing right down your back and then one sitting beside you in the seat and you got another buckled in the back seat everywhere you go? They're there all around you everywhere. But I'll tell you, friend, if it were that way, you are more than a conqueror. Oh, now, you know what that tells me? The Lord wants to at least give them a fair chance. It takes a whole army to come against one Holy Ghost filled saint. If they really know who they are, in order for it to even give the devil a halfway fair chance, it's got to be a whole army against one saint. Oh, glory to God. That's the kind of God I'm talking about. Now, these are the conditions prior to the phenomenon. Information essential to understanding a situation. You're trying to figure out, God, what in the world is going on? Sometimes you feel like you're a million miles away. Yet Brother Donnie says you're right in here. If you're right here, right there, why can't I feel you, Lord? Why does it feel like I'm farther away from you than I've ever been in my life? As far as feelings, Some folks shouting all around me, screaming and hollering. Oh, Lord, I'd welcome a rebuke just to know from you that you know I'm still alive. I'd appreciate even that. And yet he tells me you're in me and you're sealed in me. Lord, why is all this going on? A host is encamped against you. Oh, they do your body, they do your mind, they do your spirit. Though an host should encamp against me. Notice, my heart shall not fear. Isn't it amazing it didn't say his flesh? Now, brother, sister, come on, be honest. Your flesh is afraid just like mine. Do we fear death as far as the human part of it? Sure. The doctor tell you, you got cancer, you got this, you got that, the other. What's the human part? Oh no, not cancer, not TB, not this, that, the other. That's the flesh. But though a host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. And there is a difference between your heart and your flesh. Your flesh is afraid, it's fearful. Why? It's animal. What does an animal do? The prophet of God said, there is not an animal alive that is not afraid of a man. That's what he said. There's not an animal alive, he said, that is not afraid of a man. So that thing is instilled in man because after the fall, it was left in him. When we hear things that are greater than us, or we look at things and we don't understand them, we become fearful and afraid. David didn't say, my flesh wouldn't tremble. My flesh wouldn't be afraid, he said, but I know my heart will not be afraid. This, friends, is essential to understanding where we're at, what we're going through, what lays ahead of us. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. Can you imagine a king getting all of his charioteers, his men with bows, his archers, and said, we are going to attack. Yes, king. What castle, what kingdom? How many have they got? How many horses? How many charioteers? How many archers? 1 million? 1. You mean we're going up against 1 man? Right. We've got 10,000 chariots. We've got 50,000 archers. We've got 150,000 footmen. We've got all, and we're going against 1 man? Yeah, and I'm hoping that we might win. It don't look good, but maybe he'll fall or something. Oh, children, you laugh. But if you only recognize, if you could only see in the realms of the lost, in the regions down there, my, where them demons are, and how whenever they hear one child of God down on their knees praying, and devils in hell tremble when that one child of God pray, you don't realize it yourself. I don't look at myself like that. That's not what's important. It's the way they hear it. Oh, I'm so weak. I'm so puny. I'm so and so. But remember, David said, though a host should camp against me, though war should rise against me, not me and Israel, not me and my daddy, not me and my brother, but a whole war is declared against me. 10,000 to my right, 10,000 in front of me, 50,000 behind me. Amen. But in this one thing I will be confident. Listen, little bride, this is describing you in this day. This is essential to let you know where you are. But what are you going to do? Keep holding your flag up high. Hold your banner and say, I ain't giving up. I'm pressing on. I can't turn back. The one host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, it was the custom many, many years ago during the time frame when David wrote this, that kings, unless they were under command of God, they would try to send someone to the other kingdom. You took our property. You invaded some of our villages. You've done this and that and the other. Hey, don't do that again. We want some recompense for this. In your words, you won't do it again. And we're going to come and attack you. So they would send an emissary to try to spare war and spare lives. They'd try and talk and talk and see, can there something be done? We can spare this. Right. So can you imagine one day you're just minding your business? Just being a good Christian. In the mail, you get a note from Satan. You're taking our ground, Donnie Reagan, and we don't like it. You're preaching this word, and it's setting folks free. And I want to tell you one thing, it makes me mad. You're casting out devils, folks getting a Holy Ghost. You ain't compromising. What am I most mad at you, boy? I'm giving you one more chance. You don't have to get out of the message. Just make it a lot easier. Quit preaching this. Quit preaching that. Just shake a hand religion type thing. Quit preaching the new birth. Just tell them to play tapes and, you know, just be Brother Branham's a prophet. And that's all they need to do. Either that or we're calling a war. And it's not against you and Happy Valley and all your buddies. It's against you personally. And I'll send everything I've got against you. And I stand there and open that letter. Oh, dear God, what have I done? Just like you do when you get yours. I've got to where I send them registered letters from hell back to hell without signing for them. Used to, I was foolish enough, and I got a registered letter from hell, I'd go ahead and sign for it and read it. My curiosity killed me, you know. I just go ahead and open it up. But I've got to where now I don't even sign for them. Just send them on back to hell, same old liar, same old devil who's wanting me to compromise. Tell him to come on, I ain't quitting. Oh, wait a minute. Let me count them and see how many I've got. Let's see how many we got. You're not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8. Okay, how many streaming the service? And let me see how many preacher buddies can I get that'll stand with me? And how many can I get? Satan, give me a few days and let me count my strength. And let me count and see how many. Hey, I've done been in enough battles to know. A lot of the preachers that you think are your buddies, when it comes really hot and heavy, they're behind you, all right? Way behind you. Plumb out of sight. Amen. I don't want to count my forces out this way or that way or that way. I'll tell you where I want to count mine. I want to count mine from within my own experience. I want to be able to look at Donnie and see, God, am I able to wage this? I want to count the cost. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't just jump out and preach things on a whim. Whenever I preach things, I know it's going to be controversial. I wait and I pray and I study and I wait and I pray. And then whenever I feel led of the Lord, then I say, here I stand. And I'm not looking, are you standing with me, brother? Are you, sister? Are you, brother? Are you, brother? I'm measuring the sources from within. And know that when it all said and done, it won't be this brother that'll stand with me and that one and that one. But I better have the goods within myself, the same with you. If you're going to be able to stand in this hour, don't say, well, if Brother Donnie remains my pastor, I can make him the rapture. Oh, no. You've got to say, Lord God, if Brother Donnie goes to Mozambique, Timbuktu, wherever, it's me and you, Jesus. It's me and you, Jesus. Let the devil declare war. That's all right. I'll stand. And if not, and you open your little letter, then I would advise you to tie this up on your little flag. I give in, devil. What do you want me to do? Write out your terms. Quit saying Brother Branham was a man. Yes, sir. I'll quit saying that. Quit preaching on hair and looks. Agreed. If you'll do this, I'll ease up on you. Friends, you may find this hard to believe, but I've had the devil over and over and over to speak to me in an audible voice, as audible as I'm speaking to you tonight, and tell me, if you'll let up on me, I'll let up on you. You know what I do? I laugh at him. Because that shows me he's suffering. He can't take it. Oh, he can't take that word. My eating, quote, before you lay it out. I ain't talking about this anxious preacher stuff neither. This is good for every young girl, every young boy, every old man, every sick person, no matter what you are. If you're so weak tonight, you ain't hardly even got enough strength to barely raise up your finger. If I was you, I'd raise that one finger and praise the Lord with it. Glory to God, I say, you devil, you've set a whole war out against me, but I will conquer you. I will conquer you. Why, Brother Donnie? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Though a host should come against me, though a war should be declared against me, by God's grace, I will overcome. I will overcome. Hallelujah! Because it was before there was ever any sickness, I was. Before there was ever any trouble, I was. Before there was ever any heartache, I was. And when there will be no more trouble, I will be. Oh, glory to God! Notice David says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Notice where his confidence lays now. One thing have I desired of the Lord. You see where his confidence is? Not in feeling, not in emotion, not in being an Israelite, not in having his hair a certain length, wearing certain clothes, doing all that's just obedience to what God asked. But David's confidence was not in that. But this was his confidence. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Now he didn't get it. His confidence wasn't in that he got this. His confidence was in that he desired it. Because remember, he had the seed, but he couldn't have a new birth. But the new birth was hanging right above him, and they couldn't move into it. But he longed for it. He knew there was a place in God he didn't have. Oh, it's like he was born in the Old Testament with a New Testament heart. My Lord. A lot of the rest of us, like, it didn't bother them. They lived in the entire Old Testament like they didn't even know there was another realm there. But this man was born in the Old Testament with a New Testament perception. There's a place. There's a secret place. Under the shadow of the Almighty, he had insight. I know there's a place. So it comes back to this one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Notice he's a city dweller now. He's not planning on living outside the city limits. This is bride we're talking about now. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. All the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Notice verse 5. The rapture. Watch verse 5. F-A-I-T-H-J-E-S-U-S. Watch verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. How is it that this man was able to catch such inspiration to define the moment of the body change? For in the time, now he moves from this thing have I desired and I'll live in the house of the Lord and dwell in the house of the Lord and see the beauty of the Lord. And then he moves over to verse 5, for he says, in the time of trouble, not the time of revival. Not the time of plenty. Not the time when everything is going good. But in the time of trouble. Oh, children. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me. It ain't you hiding yourself. It ain't the preacher hiding. It ain't Brother Branham hiding us. It's Him hiding us, Brother Jim. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Now David being a king, and he knew that all these eastern kings had inner sanctums, or a place by which even the closest, the very closest of David's advisors, even certain family members was not allowed to go into this pavilion or this sacred inner sanctum without being bidden. It was a place that the king could go to contemplate and to weigh out matters and to think. You couldn't just barge in anytime you want to, even if you were a wife. You couldn't come just anytime you wanted to if you was a nephew or a grandpa, but you had to be bidden. Glory to God. And somehow David received the inspiration to see that when the time of trouble moves on the earth on the last day, that the bride will be hid in the inner sanctum of the pavilion of El Shaddai. We're not going to some church somewhere. We're not going out to Phoenix or Tucson, but we're going to be ushered into the pavilion of the Most High God. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, which is inner place, secret closet, or tent. So in the time of trouble, God will hide the bride in a tent of glorified flesh. Think of it. Missing people. They can't find you no more. But you're missing with the rest of the group. You get together with the rest of the group and you come up missing on the earth. And they can't find you. Sounds like somebody's looking for you. In the time of trouble, he will hide us. Remember, David's secret and his desire was to be a part of the body of God. The house of God. Remember at this time, the house of God was a tent. The house of God was at Shiloh. It was not Solomon's temple. It was a tent, a tabernacle. And you imagine David going over there. He was not allowed to go in the inner sanctum of the tabernacle. But he would go there long and wonder, what is it? What's behind there? What is it? Why do I feel this? Why am I being pulled? He was only able to see a little bit of it. But David was longing for David. David was longing when David could go into the tabernacle, when David could be clothed upon with not only a new body, but a new purse. Notice, friend, in the time of trouble, he will hide the bride in his pavilion, his tabernacle, his mystical body. Verse 5, he will, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Now notice he didn't say secret place, but in the secret of his tabernacle. Not the secret place of his tabernacle, but we're going to be hid in a secret. Remember, the prophet said the coming of the Lord is a sudden secret going away. So a coming is a going, or is a going a coming? So you don't know where you're coming or going, do you? The coming of the Lord is a sudden secret going away. Now the world is looking for a coming, we're looking for a going. Yet we call it a coming. Amen. And what will happen? Even the devil can't understand this seventh seal. Glory to God. He cannot understand it. He just simply can't make it out. Dumb devil. But the bride, oh glory, the bride will be a part of that revelation, and God will hide us in his secret. Now remember the meaning of this word, the conditions that form the setting within which something is experienced. The circumstances or events prior to a phenomenon, information essential to understanding a situation. It sounds like we might be headed for a situation. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. And of course the prophet tells us a rock in the Bible is a revelation. And the bride will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation, he says, without it being faith. And it will be revealed to the bride. Now, it's not that Jeffersonville is going to find some magic tape one day and there'll be some type of something we've never heard before. Oh, all of a sudden, oh, my, that's it. You'll hear some preacher, you'll stream this guy, hear that guy. No, that's not it. It'll be a universal something that God drops right down in the heart. Is it going to be some other something we need to compliment? No, friends, just look at Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So we're walking with God right now. When the time comes, it'll drop down in our heart just like it did Enoch. We'll be closer to his house than we are to ours. We'll be gone. Amen. And then in that time of trouble, it's moving, it's moving. He's watching every move. He's watching policy. He's watching democracy. He's watching communism. He's watching the economy. He's watching everything. He'll only allow it to get so close to that sweetheart of his. Oh, my. He'll only allow it to get so close. And when the last one's been pulled off that book and the conditions go to moving up so close in the time of trouble, it can still be a time of trouble, but somewhere it'll come from the time of trouble unto a time of excess trouble and excess sorrow. And when he says, oh no, she ain't going through that. I will not allow her to go through that. And when it comes up to that, all of a sudden the bride moves into the secret of his tabernacle. Now remember, the man of Genesis 1 was a spirit man. The man of Genesis 2 was an animal, highest form of animal life. But the man of Genesis 1 was put down inside the man of Genesis 2. And then the man of Genesis 3, the promised Messiah, what he's going to do is come and be made, look like animal life. He'll look like all the rest of them, have human flesh like all the rest of them. But what he will do, he will take that and glorify that and move it beyond mammal and move it into divine nature by his own creative power. Now what he's going to do, he's going to come back and take those that were part of that Genesis 1 man and bring you to a spot to where you, Genesis 1, living in you, Genesis 2, will ultimately produce Genesis 3. Oh, glory to God, to where you are no longer immortal. Remember the prophet said when God said, let us make man. He said he didn't just make one, but he made all those men. All of those that are part of God's attributes. And he said, let them. He, Adam, he wasn't just Adam alone, but let them have dominion. He was speaking all of his attributes. But before you ever got your chance to be manifested from Genesis 1 to have your own opportunity to be in Genesis 2, sin came on the scene. And so therefore you bypassed that theophany and you wound up with the need of the man of Genesis 3. Glory to God. And when that man of Genesis 3 come down on the earth, he looked like a man, he ate food like a man, he died like a man, but he raised like God. Amen. He suffered like a man and they put him in the grave like a man, but he went down into hell and took the keys away from the devil. He didn't do that like a man, but he did it like a Jehovah Jireh. And what's he doing? He's taking all of those children of God right back to that state again, to where it will be attributes of God living in a body of eternal life. So the secret of his tabernacle is that he takes a human body, changes it into eternal. The secret of his tabernacle unfolded in his own journey. Born of a woman made under the law. Ate natural food, the sustenance from her body even when she was carrying him. Then he takes that body, the highest form of animal life. And he glorifies it. Changes it. And remember, Jesus didn't just come back to life in the tomb. But Jesus had to be changed in the tomb. If you can understand it right, Jesus had to have a body change. Remember, he had subjected his body to age so fast that Brother Ben said he looked 50 years old. Right? So it was not just to put eternal life back into that body and raise it up, he'd look like a 50-year-old man. But his body was changed. Glory. He's the one in charge of this young people's meeting. I've been inviting y'all to. It's a youth camp. And we'll be young forever. No old people allowed. Glory. I told them up on Lima this week, some of you young folks sitting beside somebody 50 or 60 or 70 years old, don't look at them and look down your nose at them. In a few minutes, they may be the same age you are. We may all turn about 18 or 20 right here in about a couple of seconds. And when we do, we're going to move into that realm. What? We will be pulled into the secret of His tabernacle. Notice. Then by doing that, He will set me upon a rock. Verse 6. Now shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies. Uh-oh. Something's going on now. Now that we, oh glory, now that we've been set in the secret of His tabernacle, sounds like somebody's flying, somebody's rising, somebody's been lifted up. It's to be exalted or lifted up or raised above. Don't you see what it is? We've done, glory to God, we've done moved into them bodies, and now what's taking place? We are rising in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about. When they're coming against us on every side, and it will get worse, and He'll watch us and watch us and watch us, and when it comes just exactly right, He'll say, now, and you'll move into the secret of His tabernacle. And then we'll get together with the rest of the group, and then our head will be lifted up. Woo! Glory! Now, shall mine head be lifted up. The word is actually a summit or the top of the mountain. Above mine enemies, round about me. They're everywhere. They're pressing. They're everywhere. And about the time they thought they had me, I disappeared. Where'd He go? If I didn't know better, I thought He walked through that wall. No. Couldn't it? No, couldn't. Now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Notice what you'll do. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Can you imagine, friends, at that rapture morning? Oh, glory to God. When we all get together and then we rise to meet Him. And then what are we going to do? We're going to turn our focus to Brother Jim, make it to Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so. He'll be the center. Oh, glory. He'll be the center of everything. And what will we all do? Turn right toward Him. Then I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Let's stand. He comes in the midst of trouble. Myself, like you, I hate trouble. Don't you? I hate it. I hate trouble. I hate anxiety. I hate church trouble, family trouble, kidney trouble, head trouble, ear trouble. I just hate trouble. There ain't no trouble I like. I just don't like trouble. Heartache and difficulty and all that. You just don't like it. And as an American, I can't hardly stand to see what our nation has become. Our government, our politics, all the things that it is. And nobody can save it now. We know that. It's none too far gone. No matter who we put in the White House. But yet, on the other hand, I think, God, if this is what it takes to finish it all up, bring it on. So be it. If we have to get more rotten within our state, within our country, within our nation, and what our forefathers stood for, it's hurtful. When we look around and see what the message even was 20 years ago and see what it's become, it's so hurtful, Brother Terry. It's so hurtful to see what preachers and people are doing to it. But yet, if that's what it takes to bring a time of trouble, so be it. For in the time of trouble will come a resurrection. Oh, let me read this fifth verse again. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, did you notice how much that you had to do in that verse? Now I want you to read verse 5 now. And I want you to notice all there is in there for you to do in order for this to happen. Look at all the verbs and look who's doing them. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide, a verb. He's the one doing it, right? It's not a noun, it's not passive, it's a verb. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And I'm doing what? Being hid. I'm submitting to this verb as this verb is hiding me. I've already done my part. I've walked with God. Now it's up to him. So where is this exterior something that people in the message are waiting for this event to happen and that event to happen and this will lead to this? Brother Man will come set up a tent. We'll go through the prayer line. We'll do this, that, and other. Where's all that right here? It's a bunch of nonsense, friends. He shall hide me in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. So verse 5, rapturing grace, rapturing faith, rapturing power, the whole thing is he. I'm submitting. I can't hide myself. I can't make no special something in order to boost myself out of here. I can't set myself on a rock. Reveal yourself a revelation. Give yourself one. Go ahead, you have my permission right now. Go ahead, give yourself a revelation. Any of you done yet? You can't do that. You can't even give somebody else one. You can share with somebody else knowledge of your revelation. You can't give revelation. Even the devil can't give a true revelation. That comes from God. So what's rapture and grace? What's rapture and faith? Him. I just read to you the fulfillment of rapturing faith. He shall hide me. He shall hide me. So, Brother Donnie, I'm missing it. Where's this great deep something under the faith as a revelation? So what if one day it clicks with you? He shall hide me. Me. I see it. He shall hide not us, me. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Let me read this, Lord willing. We'll look at it next Wednesday night. The breach between the seven church ages and the seals. He leaves the throne to be an intercessor as a slain lamb, to be a lion king. To bring the world to judgment who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now as we hurry. When the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he became not a lamb, but a lion king. As I've told you before, the original Lion King. Notice, he calls for his queen, which is Psalms 27:5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Oh, Jesus, let's pray together. He calls for his queen to come stand by his side. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, if there's one person here or one who streamed this service tonight or to hear it that's not ready, not prepared, help them, Lord God. Lord Jesus, may we take this word. We cannot make ourselves bride. But Revelation tells us, let us rejoice and be merry, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. John didn't say she made herself wife, but she made herself ready. And the secret of this verse, Lord, is also that she was no longer bride, which is one that is espoused, but she was wife,
which means the husband had known her. Lord Jesus, help us tonight, I pray. Lord, we don't like sorrow, difficulty, trouble, but yet this is the setting for your coming. And with your coming will be a resurrection. Help us, I pray, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. How many wants to be ready? When the king calls for his queen. Remember, friends, when he moves from that mediatorial throne, it won't be 2 days, 3 days, a month, a week, a year, but it will be immediately. You could not live on this earth without a mediator. So when he moves from that mediatorial block and changes his garment from priest to king, the very next thing is calls his queen. Pre-tribulation anointing will already be so working on the earth. The seat of the beast, the head demon, will have already moved things in cycle where everything is ready for a very quick transition. The head demon will have now incarnated himself in this world leader there holding the post until Satan is kicked out of heaven. In the time of trouble, the laws will already be passed. Everything will already be in cycle. And all it'll take is a transfer of headship. And you cannot be here while that goes on. So in the time of trouble, he will say, come away, my love. Come away. Come into the secret of my tabernacle. And all of a sudden, your tent will appear. Your tent, your theophany will come in moments, seconds, whatever it is, before your theophany steps into your body. Your body will become the secret of his tabernacle. What was the secret of his tabernacle? A man turned into a glorified body. In your body, your theophany is heading right towards you, just like a bullet. And before it ever gets there, all of a sudden, a sweep will go over you. Oh, glory to God. He bids you into the secret of his tabernacle. And your theophany steps in. Oh, glory. You take this body to meet the theophany. There to be a great transformation. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just love him, can we? I don't know about you. I don't want to wait till that happens to praise him. I don't want to wait till that happens to praise him and love him and live for him and adore him. And I want to do that now. I want to be ready. I want to be ready for that time comes. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. How can it be possible, friends? Because he, our loving Father, came down from his glory. Took on the form of a servant, not an angel, but the form of a servant. But you see, even in that, it was part of the mystery. To transcend beyond what Satan's kingdom could ever even comprehend. Satan does not understand the law of humility. All he understands is arrogance and pride and selfishness. Because his entire kingdom is built upon selfishness. He cannot understand condescending to become something greater. He cannot. Can you imagine? I mentioned it, Lana. What man in his right mind, the Lord Jesus, when he was here, and he come to establish a new kingdom, and he tells his people, if you follow me, I give you a cross. Burdens, troubles, difficulties, hardships. What if our politicians run on that platform? You make me president, I'll raise your taxes, I'll do this. That's what they're going to do anyway, they might as well tell the truth. I promise you, I won't do it, glory to God. I mean, I won't do it if you vote me in. I'll lie, lie, lie.
But Jesus says, if you come after me, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. Now this is being spoken to first century people who were raised going into Jerusalem and to Bethlehem, seeing thieves hung on a cross. Not us. Seeing people wear a gold one around their neck or a polished walnut one hanging from their mirror. So when you spoke the term cross to them it meant humiliation, shame, suffering, pain. What's this man doing? He's telling them, I'm going to give you a cross, and if you follow me, you've got to take up that cross every day. It's not even just once in a lifetime. And you got Satan on the other side and said, you want to come follow me? I'll give you fun, 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 and more fun. Oh, it'll be so much fun. You can drink as much as you want to drink. You can do all you want to do. I promise it'll be so fun. And then when all the fun is over, that's what I want to know. When it's finished, cross bearing is finished, fun is finished, then what do they offer me then? What's Satan got to offer me when my life is done? Think of it, young people. You might want to ask him, Satan, what are you going to give me whenever it's all said and done? Besides all this fun stuff. I mean, all this dope and all this sort of stuff, promiscuous sex and all that sort of thing. When it's all finished, what are you going to give me? Well, he ain't got no heaven. And he ain't got no eternal life. We ain't got no eternal peace. As a matter of fact, I've never been able to find in the scripture or in the message that Satan even has the capacity or the ability to even love. Do you understand? He does not love his subjects. He does not love them. So Jesus says, this is what I give you. In this life you'll be hated, talked about, run down, ridiculed. Even at times, you'll think even I've forsaken you. I won't, but you'll think I will. But when it's all over,
amen,
I'll take you to a place that's beyond what you could even imagine. The streets there, the pavement is gold. Walls are jasper. Pearls make the gates. And I'm the light of the city. The water to the entire city comes out from under my throne. There'll be gardens, avenues, parks, animals. No hurt, no pain, no sorrow. You make your choice. Even if there wasn't a city like that, I'd choose him. If it was, as I told you a few weeks ago, if heaven wasn't no more than just a polished up Elizabethan and there's no sin, if it was these mountains right here, if it was these mountains and there's no sin and no death and no heartache, friend, that would be heaven to me if Jesus is there. But this type of a place that we're going to. So my cross is light compared to what I've got waiting for me. Oh, come and go with me up to my Father's house, up to my Father's house, up to my Father's house. Won't you come and go with me up to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, sweet peace. There'll be no dying there, up in my Father's house, up in my Father's house. Oh, there'll be no dying there, up in my Father's house, where there's peace, peace. Oh, God bless you, saints. The fear of God. Oh, come and go with me. I'll see you this weekend, Lord willing.
Father's house.